Morning, brothers and sisters. Shall we turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12? Book of Romans, chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I think we just stop here today. When I shared last month on these verses, I mentioned that how Paul structured the book of Romans, how he dealt with the doctrines in the first few chapters, and then from chapter 12 onwards, he turned to the practical application. And it is this transition from doctrine to practical applications in the first chapters, and then the natural development from the first two verses of this chapter 12, which lay the foundation for the rest of his letter. All that is real and practical to us in our Christian living. The first two verses of chapter 12 really sums up the remainder of the book, the remainder of the teachings in that letter, and it gave us all the motivation which is necessary for us to really live a practical Christian life, the outliving of what we believe are contained in these final few chapters. If we read chapter 12 carefully, we see that after laying down these two very basic things that today in our time as believers, we are not only to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, but also in our minds to be renewed. He went on to talk briefly about the exercise of the various gifts in the church. And then from verse 9 onwards, he really set out the relationship which we Christians have, not only in the family of God, among brothers and sisters, but later on also to tell us how we are related with the rest of the world in which we still find ourselves in, how we are going to deal with them in our little corner, how we are related to the world as a whole. But in verse 9 to verse 16, he really outline first of all the relationship which we have among brothers and sisters. And last time I shared in verses 9 and 10 the two very basic and fundamental matters in the lives of Christian living, that we should be, I don't know if you remember what it was. What are they supposed to be? Two very difficult, fundamental and basic things for all Christians. One, it is the sincerity of our lives in our hearts. That we must be sincere to one another. We must be without hypocrisy. And the second one is that we must have discernment. We must cling to what is good and flee away, abhor from what is evil. Those are the two very fundamental things which we should base our lives on. And then today I just want to share one further thing there which Paul thought was important. And that is in verse 11. Verse 11 concerns our general attitude as well. It concerns our spirit and how we are to carry out our service for the Lord and the spirit in which we ought to carry out our service. And I think that is very important for us to have a correct view, a correct understanding of how we are to serve the Lord. In what spirit should we serve the Lord? Because if these are not right, if our spirit before Him is not right, if our spirit of service and work for the Lord and our testimony of a Christian living is not right, then whatever we do, whatever we say, will not be effective. We can talk as much as we want, we can outline and discuss a lot of doctrines and a lot of principles, but if the spirit in which we live out our beliefs are not correct, then whatever we say will not be effective. And that is why it is so important for Paul to lay down this matter for us. And verse 11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Three things he laid out: not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. But this morning, I think I'll just go and share with you a little bit on the first of these, how we are not to lack in diligence. I think that's important, that we should deal with this. Now, in our version, the New King James Version, it says not lacking in diligence. But I look up the King James, which the New King James is based, and I think I see it translated quite differently. You know, something, if you compare the two, you probably don't notice the similarity at all. Here we say it's not lacking in diligence, but in the King James it says that we must not be slothful in business. Not slothful in business. And I thought, well, how do you reconcile these two translations? One is not lacking in diligence, and the other is not slothful in business. But the more I thought about it, the more I think that if you put the two translations together, then we probably get a really better idea of what Paul was trying to say, right? Because it seems the two things are the same thing is presented in two different ways, right? Lacking in diligence, and then slothful in business. Now, business, what does business mean? Business means trying to do something, right? Trying to have a go at something. That's doing business. And lagging, when we talk about lagging, it seems that we have that thought of not catching up, right? He's walking very fast and I'm falling after him and not catching up, I'm lagging behind. And the word slothful is not a very complimentary word to say to somebody, you are slothful, right? It means you are lazy, to be idle and tardy. I don't know if you know there's a little animal in South America called a sloth, and that's where the word comes from. A sloth lives its entire life hanging on a branch where he's 4 feet. And I was told that it very seldom ever comes down onto the ground. It only comes down on the ground but once a week to excrete and do that, and then he goes back and hangs up. It never moves, and even when he feeds himself, he takes the leaves nearest to him and he won't move until he's hungry, and then he moves a little bit and go to the next. And he's just very lazy, and that name of that animal is used to describe somebody who is really lazy and idle and didn't want to move. So slothful is more or less synonymous with laziness, and we don't really want people to call us that, isn't it? It is not a very good compliment if somebody tells me, look, why see, you're a sloth. That's not a good thing to hear, right? So when you describe such a person, you're describing him in a very negative sense. and that he's lazy, and that he will not move unless he's pushed. And even then, if he's pushed, he will just move over a little bit in proportion to the force that's exerted on him. That is the type of condition a person is in when we call him a sloth. Now, on the other hand, a person who is diligent is something very positive, isn't it? It's just the entire opposite. He's very focused on doing things. He is active, and he has a purpose in doing things and means to complete it. And somehow we know these two types of people when we see one, isn't it? It's difficult to describe exactly what it is, but when we see someone who is diligent and when we see someone who is slothful, then we know who they are. And that is the adjectives that Paul uses here, not lacking in diligence and or not slothful in business. Now, Paul here did not say that we are just to become busy people. When he said not lacking in diligence, he's not just saying you've got to keep busy all the time, you know, working all the time. Because if that is the case, then we're just busy bodies, isn't it? No, I don't think Paul is saying that when you do not lack in diligence, he's going to say that you have to keep yourself busy all the time. But Paul is doing something else. He's saying something else. He is trying to exalt us. In the context of, remember, we said that the whole chapter and the rest of the book of Romans is based on this statement which he made in the first two verses of Romans. Therefore, when he exalted us, he is doing it in the context of the first two verses of this chapter. And it is out of love for brothers and sisters that he reminded Christians to consecrate themselves in the service of the Lord in such a way that we keep being active. Right? Not just to do something when you are pushed, but not to serve the Lord when you are pushed, and then just to do enough so that somebody is no longer pushing you. He stressed that the love to be exhibited here is not just a cold sort of thing. It is something which is active. We must not be a sloth when we come to serving the Lord. And so, if that is the statement, if Paul says not lacking in diligence, then I think the question for us to ask is, well, if we are lazy, what are the causes? We know that we tend to be lazy not only in serving the Lord, in our own personal things, sometimes we are lazy too. I don't know if we ever ask ourselves, well, if I am in that state, if I am lagging in diligence, what are the causes of this? And in order to remedy the situation, we need to identify these causes. And I want to offer you a few of the reasons, just to remind ourselves so that we can know what the problem is, and then see how we are going to deal with it. I think that is a very practical thing, especially when we come to serving the Lord, when we come to living and serving together among brothers and sisters. I think the first thing we need to realize when we think about this business of being lazy, that there's a natural cause. God made us differently. God made some people very active. God made others who are less active. We are all different. God did not stereotype Christians or stereotype human beings. Everyone is made differently. And I think that's the way we are, and we need to recognize it. I am very active. He is not so active. We have to take that as a matter of fact. That is how God made us. And that we have to recognize, and we have to start from there. And these very different factors in a person has an effect on our Christian living. Some tend to be more active, and the way they live their Christian lives will be different from others who are less active. And as a result of these differences, the problems that we have in life will be slightly different. Sometimes that difference is therefore based on our constitution, on our temperament, which is different from one another from the time we were born. Some are more outward, some are more energetic, others are less outward, less energetic. We can't do anything to change that basic temperament sometimes, and we need to take that into account. However, having said that, I think that difference should never deter us. Because as children of God, we have, don't forget, the Holy Spirit living in us. God's life lives in us. Christ Jesus lives in us. And the Holy Spirit is in control of ourselves. And therefore we can be fervent in spirit, as Paul says in the second branch of this verse. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, even though we have different temperament, even though we have different constitution, God made us differently, the Holy Spirit can do things which out of our natural self we cannot do. He can always overcome our shortcomings that we have in our temperament. Now, so that may be, you might say, well, I am less active than the others, I am less diligent in doing things than the others, because God made me so. Yes, in a way, but no, in another sense, because as Christians, we are different. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can, if we want to, allow the Holy Spirit to overcome this difference in us, and remain active and diligent as we come to execute what we have to do. Then secondly, I think one of the things that will cause us to lack, to not catching up, is because of obstacles and difficulties in the way. You know, I think we all experience that we often start doing something with great zeal, right? We are all into it, great zeal. And then, as we go along the way, obstacles come, difficulties, service, and the result and cooperation that we get were not as we expected, and we become disappointed. We become frustrated, and these factors creep in, and we slow down. We slow down a bit more. And eventually we stopped altogether. Someone who is energized will very soon, when he's faced with obstacles and difficulty, will slow down. I was trying to think of an example to illustrate this, and I drove 2 days ago, and in my car there's a little thing there that says, when your tire is underinflated, it says one tire low pressure. It means that, well, one of your tires should be pumped up. And I thought that this business of starting with great zeal and then slowing down because of obstacles and difficulties, it's like a deflated tire. It goes down slowly, you don't notice it, but eventually it becomes a flat tire. You know, our zeal is always very often like that. We started to do something with great energy and zeal, and then gradually we come across various things. We hear some negative comments from other brothers and sisters. We encounter difficulties. We're missing this and that. And then that enthusiasm sort of evaporated gradually without knowing. And then in the end, gradually we slow down, and in the end we stop. That is one of the causes, the disappointments because of obstacles, because of frustration. You know, just another illustration, example. How many of you, over the years, I think we have all done that. At the beginning of the year, we make many decisions. You know, okay, we're going to do this and do that. Right at the beginning of the year, on the 1st of January, we make all kinds of decisions to improve on ourselves. We look back over the year, we saw where we have come short, and then we decided, okay, this year I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this. I will do this and that. And we start the first few days with great zeal. But as I think many of you would have experienced, at the end of the year, when you look back again, what do you find? How many of those decisions have you persevered and continued? And then as you look back, you can see that how you gradually slow down, how you gradually make excuses for yourself, and how you your zeal to carry out that decision you made at the beginning of the year gradually stopped. And eventually at the end of the year you have gone back to the beginning again, and then you make another decision year after year like that. The lacking in diligence is caused by difficulties on the way, change conditions, frustrations. All these are practical things that we encounter in our lives, isn't it? And it is the same thing in spiritual matters too. It can happen both to an individual and also in a corporate way, as a body of Christ, the whole church, as we serve together, as we work together, as we worship together. These same things can happen to us. Difficulties, we don't see cooperation from brothers and sisters, and then gradually our determination, our zeal waned, and it slowly disappears. You know, in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelations, remember how God spoke to the church in Ephesus? God said, well, I know your works, I know your patience, I know how well you have done, how well you have stood testimony for me. But God said, I have one thing against you. I have this thing against you. And that is, you have lost your first love. Well, how did they lose their first love? Obviously, what God was saying, that initially, when you come to embrace me as your God and Savior, as your Lord, you really love me in a simple way. But then, over years, over time, although you withstood a lot of attacks from the enemy, from the unbelievers, you have stood up, you have lived with patience, yet one thing you have lost that first love. The Lord praised them for many things, but the Lord sort of rebuked them for losing their first love. Now, if you think of that, it is the loss of zeal for the Lord. Because of the difficulties, because of the many things that were against them, from the Jews, from the other unbelievers, their first love has been affected. And they no longer love the Lord as they first do. You see, the difficulties in our life, obstacles in our lives, various little things can be obstacles, can be blocks to our effort to serve diligently, to live diligently. And as a result, we lack in diligence. Because all these things can over time affect our love for the Lord. And if our love for the Lord decreases, then we may have to go back and meditate and think, is it because we have lost that zeal because there are obstacles and difficulties in our way? So that is the second reason I think of that could cause us to become lacking in diligence. And then I think we have to be aware of one thing as well. We know that Satan is always working behind the scenes. He does not like us to come to know the Lord and trust in Him and surrender ourselves to Him. But having been unable to stop that, as Christians, He is always trying behind the scene to work against us and destroy our faith and destroy our zeal in loving the Lord, in living a life which is pleasing to the Lord. Now, having said that, I have to be very careful when I say this. It seems that as if we are going to put all the blame for all our failures on Satan. Now, that is not the case. We must not think that whenever we fail, it's not because I have done something wrong or because it's on my part, but it's all because of Satan. Now, that is not true, right? But in a large way, we must realize that we are responsible for our own actions. If Satan has a part in anything, it is because fundamentally we have allowed him to carry out that work in us. So we have to be aware that even though Satan is behind all this, we are responsible. Because we have allowed him to do so. Now, on the other hand, we know from the scriptures that the devil is out really to ruin and mar the work of God. Satan is always working with a hope to destroy the work of God in us. And so the Christian is forever the object through which Satan hopes to achieve that purpose. This is something we have to be aware. We start with zeal, with diligence. Satan is trying to stop that. And if we are not careful, we will allow him to do it, then he will be successful. I think what Satan tried to do in the first creation, he hopes to repeat that in the new creation. Today we are a new creation, Paul tells us. And Satan tries to repeat what he did to the first Adam. And we need to be very, very careful about that. He attacks us in many ways. He can do this well, not only in our body, but he can do this in our mind and in our spirit as well. He can attack us both in our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirit. He can influence us in many ways. And he has very often been able to cause a kind of sluggishness, you know, inclination not to work, to stay put, to be idle, a kind of heaviness in spirit in us. And that is something which is really fatal as a Christian. You know, when Satan is able to put that kind of spirit in us, you know, that we don't want to move. You know, we let others do it, we just stay behind and watch, and we just enjoy the fruit of what others have been doing. Satan is able to work that spiritual sluggishness in us, and he can make us feel lazy, both in the body, in the mind, and in the spirit. You know, I'm sure that we have this feeling. I just want to use this as an illustration. All right? Do you not sometimes have that feeling in the morning or during the day? Well, I don't feel like doing anything today. So therefore, I cannot do this thing today. We have something that we know we should do today. Then our feeling tells us, oh, I don't feel like doing it today, so I don't want to do it today. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get better tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow. And then what do you know? When tomorrow comes, you don't feel better tomorrow. And so you thought, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow will come, tomorrow will go, and there's so many tomorrows that we will just leave whatever we should have done 3 days ago still left undone. That is the sort of thing that we experience very often, isn't it? Even in our daily chores, we we sort of keep sort of, yeah, this is something I should have done, but I don't feel like it. I'm so tired and so on. Leave it till tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll do it. But tomorrow you won't do it, right? Because you will feel the same tomorrow too. That is the sort of thing that Satan can put in us, even in our service for the Lord. You know, something we need to do, God has called me to do, and I know that the Holy Spirit is going to urge me to do, but I still say, well, I don't feel well today, I'm too tired today, or whatever. I'll do it tomorrow. And we never do it. We keep on day after day after day. I remember a sister wrote a poem. She's a Christian, a good Christian sister, and she wrote a poem as a matter of regret, looking back in her life. He said, it's a long poem. The idea, the content of that poem is that she was saying, there's a very good friend of mine whom I would like to preach the gospel to, and he lives just around the corner down the street, and I intend to visit him and preach the gospel to him, but I keep delaying it. I say, well, she's so near, she's just living around the corner in the next block. I'll go and visit him tomorrow. And he keeps on giving that an excuse. I'm too busy doing this. This is more urgent than that. Or she's so near, she's still in good health. And she kept saying this day after day, week after week, year after year. And then one day, the news came. That person whom she intended to preach the gospel to has died. And she regrets it. She wrote a poem as a confession before the Lord and said, you know, how I've been sluggish, you know, postponing this. Something which the Lord has put a burden in her mind to do. And she just keeps saying, well, there's tomorrow. She's lives so near. She's still in good health. I'll just go around. It's so easy for me just to walk around there and talk to her. But she kept delaying it, you know, that laziness, that sluggishness crept in, and she lost the chance. You know, that's the thing, something we experience very often too, isn't it? We keep putting off. You know, you take another example. I mean, some of us have been here late this morning. How many of you have really sincerely in your heart said to yourself, you know, I need to be punctual to come to the meeting. I need to come punctually to worship God. But I couldn't get up because I slept late last night. And when the alarm clock rang this morning, I felt so sleepy. So as a result, not only am I late, but members of my family have to come late because I'm late. I'm not ready. So I make a decision. I said, well, okay, next week I'll get up. And I set my alarm clock next week. The alarm went off. And again, I say the same thing. I just can't get up. I'm too sleepy. You know, even if I go there, I'll fall asleep during the meeting. And then you say, oh, next week I'll do better. I'm sure some of us have that thought. I mean, we've been saying that for weeks and weeks, and yet we know we still can't make it. I'm not accusing of anyone of that, but just the general sort of feeling that we have in doing things, you know, we tend to be lazy. That is our nature in a way. But Paul says that be careful, don't lack in diligence. You have to be very careful. This lagging in diligence and slothfulness is very damaging to our spiritual life. And the devil, I think, sometimes is exceedingly successful in producing that kind of condition in us. Just don't move, just do the minimum, and the devil will be very, very happy. You know, we can go on and on and find many other reasons. But I think that these few are just already enough for us to see how serious the question is. That we need to be really on guard. And now that if we have identified that there is a problem there in our diligence, then the next question, I think, is what are we going to do with it? We are in that state. We are slothful, we are lazy, we are lagging behind in our diligence. Well, what can we do with it? What can we do about it? Paul says we are not to lag behind. So how are we going to do this? I think Solomon, you know, he was a very wise man, and God endowed him with wisdom, which the Bible says no one has ever had that kind of wisdom before, no one afterwards will be as clever as he is. And he wrote many of the chapters in the Proverbs, and in chapter 6 of Proverbs, he dealt with sluggishness and slothfulness. And you know what he used as an example? He first asked a question, and he said, how long will you slumber? How long will you slumber? When will you rise from your sleep? He was addressing the slothful. He was addressing these lazy people. He said, how long will you slumber? How long will you, when will you rise up from your sleep? And he used the diligence of the ants to demonstrate his point. He said that even such a small creature as the ant knows how to be diligent. He said that the ants, they don't have a leader, they don't have a captain, they don't have a group leader or whatever, and yet every ant on its own is always diligently going out to search for food. Because they know that while the summer, the warm weather is still there, if they do not go out and collect fruit, then when winter comes, they will not have food. So he said to these slothful people, to these people who are still slumbering in their sleep, he said, look at these ants and how diligent they are in their lives. They live to serve a purpose. And if you see even an ant can do that, what happened to you, these slothful people? When will you rise from your sleep? We have a purpose in life. We know today we live for the glory of God. We live as a living testimony in this world in which we still find ourselves in. And we have a purpose. And we need to be diligent in our lives to serve that purpose. Although I think Solomon was basically addressing the lazy person in the worldly life, in his worldly life, in a worldly sense, that, you know, somebody who's not doing anything, he said, you better get up, rise from your sleep. But it has a spiritual lesson for us too. You know, in our spiritual life, we can get lazy, and God is telling us and calling us, is that when are we going to rise up from that sleep? How long will we continue to slumber? Get up! If we have slowed down or we have stopped from pursuing the initial promise of consecration to God, then we need really to wake up. That is the solution. What are we going to do about it? Wake up! If you are sleeping, you just wake up. God is calling you. The Holy Spirit is reminding you. You have to wake up and be diligent. If we are to serve Him and live for His glory, then we really need to come out from this slumber and start to become active and diligent. Do not slumber anymore, Paul says. And we need to shake ourselves up a little bit sometimes. You know, we've been too comfortable these days, and we need really to shake ourselves up. Look here, look back and see, I have slowed down. I have not been living a life which God wants to me. I have been lagging in diligence. So I need to shake myself and function as ourselves, and not as we have been doing lately. Now, I think there's a very good example, and easy to see that, you know, our body needs exercise. If we are to be healthy, if we are to be strong, we need to exercise ourselves, isn't it? And we often say, hear people say, oh, I'm really out of practice. That means he's not been exercising. I don't know about you, but I noticed this. I had a cold this last week or so, and I stopped going to swim every day. And I feel I'm not as good as I was because I'm out of practice. I don't exercise myself. That is the situation with our physical bodies, and in our spiritual health is the same. We need really need exercise. And to be diligent means you really exercise yourself. And if you are lacking in diligence, your problem is that you are not exercising yourself. And so the remedy for us to come out of this sluggishness, of this inactivity, is to go and exercise ourselves, and exercise constantly and regularly. Otherwise we'll go back, you know, our spiritual condition will go back into a static condition, not dynamic. And that is really fatal for us, I think. Sometimes I think we need to really tell ourselves, if I don't feel like reading the Bible today or praying today, and you can always give yourself a good excuse, right? I'm not well today. You know, I'm too busy today. I'm under pressure in my work or in school. I think when something like that occurs in your mind, it's a time for you to say to yourself, now I must wake up. I must come out from that slumber. I must think that perhaps I'm in this position because I'm too slack. I've not been putting enough exercise, spiritual exercise, in my life. You know, like an example I said about being late. You need to wake up. I've not been strict with myself. I've not been as active as I should be. We are slacking. We need to realize that we are slacking. And so we need to arouse ourselves and exert diligence, and not let any such thoughts of idleness and staying put to be entertained in our thoughts. I think as Christians who may be lacking in diligence, if we are in that position, gradually we will become not a sluggish Christian, but a dead Christian, in the sense that we are not doing anything at all. And it is when we come to that stage, I think it will be even more difficult for us to deal with that problem. So really, let us hope that we do not fall into that situation, and if we do, we wake up and exercise ourselves and come back with that zeal and diligence. Never allow that to lag behind and not catch up. I think there's another point before I close, which is equally important. I think that we know that as Christians we live as a community, as just mentioned. We are a member, part of that body of Christ. And if you are a part, if you are a member of that body of Christ, it follows that if there is something wrong with one member in that body, all the other members will suffer to some extent. And Paul said this quite clearly. You know, even in Romans, later on in 2 chapters, he said, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself." We all linked together. We are not independent, isolated members. We are members of a body who live together, who work together as a whole to testify and glorify for God and for God's eternal purpose. None of us lives to himself, Paul says. No one dies to himself either. We are not independent units. And if one of us lacks in diligence, I'm quite sure he will affect the others as well. He will affect the one next to him, and eventually their whole body will be affected. Their whole body will become in the position as he is in. That's why we see sometimes, you know, looking back over the years, a certain group of Christians have stayed where they are. They have not moved forward, because maybe some of them, some members in that group there, have slowed down, and that slowing down affected others, and eventually the whole group is being affected. And that is something which we need to attend to. Don't think that, oh, it doesn't matter, if I slack a little bit, it's my business. It will affect others, because we belong to the same body, and we are members of such a body, and each of us have his effect and use in that body. Now, having said all this, I think we need also to have a word of warning before I close, and that is to go to the other extreme. There's always that danger, you know, with enthusiasm, and a real danger in religious enthusiasm as well. We can very often go to the other extreme. Instead of being sluggish, instead of being lazy, some of us may go to the other extreme and have all the enthusiasm. Now, the danger of that is that we can, people in that situation can become fanatical. Look at all the cults and the heresies that are in existence today. If you trace their origin, they are always, you can always trace it to some member who is extraordinarily enthusiastic about something. And I call that religious enthusiasm. I mean, look at the Islam theology today, some of the so-called fundamentalist Islam. And where do all these terrorists and all these things come from? It is some people in their religious belief, which is so acute and so strong that they act in that kind of enthusiasm to the damage and injury of not themselves but the whole society. So having warned Paul, having warned that we must not lack in diligence, we must also be careful not to go to the other extreme and become just religiously enthusiastic. I don't know if you know what I mean. We have to be careful. We, in everything that we do, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. We need to listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit has to say. So, zeal and diligence are only fine if it is done according to knowledge. When it is exaggerated, it can always become dangerous. And Paul warned us about this in, if we go back to Romans chapter 10 and in verse 2, this is what he accused the Israelites of doing. in chapter 10, verse 2, he says to the Israelites, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They have a zeal for God, but it is not according to knowledge, not according to what the Bible teaches us, not according today in our language, not according to what the Holy Spirit is leading us. It is purely the enthusiasm of our flesh that we go and do something we think right for the Lord. We have to be very careful about that. And Paul is another example. Remember before he was converted, before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was very enthusiastic. He had all the zeal because he believed in God. He believed that these Christians are doing something wrong, and he did whatever he can with lots of zeal and good intent to go and persecute the Christians. That is enthusiasm. That is not lacking in diligence. I think we would agree. But that is doing great harm. And therefore, when we say, on the one hand, that we must not lack in diligence, we must also warn ourselves not that zeal and that diligence is only good if it is done according to knowledge, according to how the Holy Spirit is leading us. And it is only that kind of zeal that we want to root ourselves in our daily lives. And may the Lord really teach us this lesson and remind us that we need to be diligent, not to allow ourselves to sort of slowly sink and lag behind. Always fervent in the Spirit in serving the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us life. And we know that you not only give us life, but you have given us life abundant. Lord, in all the things that we find ourselves in, we know that your provision has always been the best. Lord, we know that you want us to love you, and you want us to serve you. And we know that you want us to be diligent in following what you want us to do. Lord, as we sung in the hymns, that we want to follow you, we want to be with you. But we want to do this in accordance with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, if we are being idle lately, if our zeal has been lost for whatever reasons, Lord, we pray that you will revive us, that you will really restore us to that first love which we had when we first come to know you. And that we may indeed live a life, active, spiritual life, active life which is pleasing to you and which can really glorify you. We ask that you will continue to bless us and remind us what we should do and how we should act in a world which is surrounded by all these unbelievers. We ask all this in your most precious name. Amen.